Good morning, and welcome to the Tyson Foods Financial Update Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw from the question queue, you may press star, then two. We do ask that you limit your questions to one and one follow-up. Please note that this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Jon Kathol, Vice President of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on such short notice. I'm Jon Kathol, the Vice President of Investor Relations for Tyson Foods. I'm joined today by Tom Hayes, President and CEO, and Dennis Leatherby, CFO, to discuss Tyson's acquisition of Advanced Pierre Foods. On today's call, we'll be making forward-looking statements and would ask you to refer to the ir.tyson.com site for additional information. I would also like to remind you that a replay of today's call will be available later today on Tyson's Investor Relations website. And with that, I would like to turn the call over to Tom.
Very good. Thank you, John. And thank you all for joining us today on such short notice. As you saw from our press release this morning, we announced that Tyson has entered into a definitive agreement to acquire Advanced Pierre Foods for $40.25 a share. Transaction has the support of Oaktree, which owns approximately 42% of the outstanding shares of Advanced Pierre common stock. We're really excited about this transaction, and it fits with Tyson's portfolio of prepared and protein-packed brands. As we discussed recently at CAGNY, Tyson is focused on its new strategic intent to sustainably feed the world with the fastest-growing portfolio of protein-packed brands. The acquisition of Advanced Pierre and its brands will allow us to do just that. Advanced Pierre has a portfolio of products and categories that Tyson does not have, and Advanced Pierre will bring us to capabilities and products in ready-to-eat lunch and dinner sandwiches, sandwich components, and snacks. Marrying the two business lines with Tyson's capabilities and brands will create meaningful opportunities for growth, faster and greater than the companies could do separately. With the addition of Advanced Pierre's product lines, we will be building out our portfolio of fresh prepared foods, a segment we find especially attractive. This is going to allow us to broaden our position as a valuable player in convenience foods and the important retail perimeter. Importantly, this combination will immediately drive financial results. We expect the transaction to be immediately accretive to Tyson's EPS on both a GAAP and cash basis, excluding costs. As with the Hillshire transaction, we intend to use our strong cash flows, including divestiture proceeds, to rapidly pay down debt and return to our leverage within our target range. This transaction is about growth. We believe that Tyson is the right home for Advanced Pierre to continue to expand its distribution footprint and nurture even greater brand loyalty for its products. With Tyson's world-class manufacturing and distribution footprint, our ability to source inputs and some duplicative corporate overhead, we should expect synergies of approximately $200 million to be realized within 3 years. We also expect revenue synergies over time by leveraging Tyson's innovation and brand building capabilities, which will help us currently with what is a regional player find growth across the U.S. Tyson has evaluated opportunities to leverage our strong business fundamentals to drive future growth in our recently completed strategic plan, and whether by divesting non-core protein-focused assets, as we announced yesterday, or by acquiring companies like Advanced Pierre that enhance our protein-focused portfolio, we are focused on driving growth and driving growth fast and profitably. We believe Advanced Pierre and Tyson are a natural strategic fit to accomplish this objective. The combination of acquiring Advanced Pierre and divesting non-strategic assets moves us significantly forward in shaping the portfolio for the future, and it meets the needs of our strategic objectives. As this is our first acquisition and transaction as a new leadership team, I wanted to restate the acquisition strategy as we laid out recently and how this acquisition of Advanced Pierre fits within it. Pretty simply, we are focused on value-added protein-packed foods. We want to ensure that any transaction brings to Tyson either a new brand, a new capability, or a new geography. If we can find targets that meet all three simultaneously, that's right where we want to be. This acquisition of Advanced Pierre we have acquired new capabilities, new brands, and excellent customer relationships that we can expand into new geographies. Advanced PR's product portfolio represents a wide range of compelling offerings in geographies and channels, where when combined with Tyson's portfolio and capabilities, we'll have significant presence. As you can see, this transaction provides considerable and immediate value for Advanced PR shareholders. We are looking forward to Advanced PR employees joining our team. As a part of Tyson, they will have a larger, more attractive opportunity set at a company that Fortune repeatedly lists as one of the best places to work. So in short, we're excited about Tyson's future growth opportunities and the crucial role that Advanced PR and its brands will play. It's an excellent accretive transaction that enhances our ability to compete in growing channels while delivering significant value to Advanced PR shareholders. So with that, I'll conclude our prepared remarks. And now I'd like to open up the call for questions, but I will ask that everybody keep in mind that we will only be addressing this transaction during the Q&A session. We'll not be discussing quarterly results, our outlook, or any of that, as we'll announce our results on May 8th. So with that, operator, please open the line.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. If your question has been addressed, you may withdraw from the queue by pressing star, then two. Again, we ask that you limit your questions to one and one follow-up. If you have further questions, you may re-enter the question queue. The first question will come from Adam Samuelson of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks. Good morning, everyone. Maybe first, Tom, if you can provide a little bit more color on the different synergy buckets that you've targeted, maybe quantify some of the expected savings between fresh meat, manufacturing rationalization, public company costs, et cetera. And then just quickly, secondly, can you talk about the plan for share repurchases, if any, over the next 12 to 18 months? Should we think of those as on hold as you delever from Advanced PR, or that the run rate that you've had recently can continue?
Yeah, so good morning, Adam. Thanks for the question. I'll have Dennis talk about the share repurchase approach. But as it relates to the synergy bucket, so a bit too early to give you the full quantification. We're working through that. We haven't had a chance actually to go to the team, obviously, and talk about it. From our perspective, though, those buckets include manufacturing, distribution, redundant overhead, and for sure there will be some significant revenue synergies. But as you can imagine, with our network that we have for our mixing centers with theirs, there's not just the cost takeout opportunity, but also just the customer service, and I think a compelling proposition for us to be a more viable supplier to help our customers grow. So we feel really confident about the 200 is what you should take away, and that, we've done enough work to understand that, we're going to have the right approach to it. Dennis?
Adam, as far as the buyback question goes, at this point, we are definitely going to deleverage as quickly as we can. I would expect that we would be looking at discretionary buyback sometime late 2019. In the meantime, we would, however, continue to buy a small amount of shares to cover our long-term incentive plans.
All right. Thanks very much. I'll pass it on.
The next question will come from Tom Palmer of J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. One thing we've heard this morning is around the timing of the acquisition, considering the business was up for sale at perhaps a bit lower of a price a couple years ago. Has something changed in Advanced PR's business or in Tyson's business that makes it more attractive today than it might have been a couple years ago?
Hey, Tom, that's an excellent question, and the answer to that is yes on both fronts. So what's changed in Advanced PR, the team has done a wonderful job, certainly not just growing the business, but also putting in place an operating model, which they call the Advanced PR way, that has really driven a lot of effectiveness, and not just as it relates to how they're manufacturing and distributing their products, but also on the commercial side. So pricing strategies, a lot of the stuff that they've, talked about with investors themselves. But as, we took a look at what they've done, they have created significant value. So that's there's a change clearly there that we recognize. and being a public company, you know, that put it straight out in the open, which was exciting for us to see. As it relates to Tyson, of course, we've had much change here. So we have a new leadership team, we have a new CEO, myself, and we also have a new strategy. So our strategy had to be sorted before we could say this was an excellent fit. And as you saw yesterday, we divested businesses that aren't consistent with our strategy to grow in protein-packed brands. So, you know, yes, it is a more valuable company. Yes, it would have been, you know, probably less expensive or certainly less expensive in the past, but the timing is right. Timing, as you can imagine, or as you know, is everything in a lot of these deals. So we feel really good about it.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question will be from Heather Jones of The Vertical Group. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Excuse me. I was wondering if you could give us a sense of which of their segments that you are finding the most attractive and most synergistic with Tyson. I know they have a fast-growing convenience store business, but just wondering if you could give us a sense of what components you found the most attractive.
Sure. Good morning, Heather. You know what's nice about this is that I would say the segments that they compete in are all attractive to us. Attractive because we are strong in them, but you know, with our own product portfolio, but we have very complementary product lines. So I would say the two to think about the most are certainly the convenience channel that has been growing. There's been, you know, growth is tough to come by, I would say, in food overall, but convenience is growing, and also the store perimeter. So if you think about the opportunity for us as we look at the combination, we have excellent brands at Tyson, and we have excellent capabilities. We're adding sandwich assembly capabilities in lunch and dinner that we don't currently possess to the extent that, you know, Advance Pierre has them. And there's also just the straight up, you know, product portfolio breadth that Advance Pierre has that we just don't in prepared. So the channels to think about are convenience and the retail periphery. Or perimeter, but as you think about growth going forward, it's going to also be in traditional retail. You know, not to be overlooked is the Barber Foods brand. So it's a small brand in the predominantly in the Northeast today, but we like it. We like that it's a very quality brand with a strong heritage, and so we intend to, you know, make sure that we pay attention to how we can grow that equity across retail over time as well.
Okay, and as a follow-up, I just wanted to ask about the margins. So their EBIT margin a couple of years ago was less than half of what it is now. It was in the low fives last fiscal year. It was close to 13. And clearly there's been some input cost relief in the meantime, but then if you look at the synergy target y'all are talking about, you know, it seems like you're targeting a very high margin for this business. And I just wonder if you could help us get some comfort around that and the structure of their sales agreement so that if we go into a period of input cost inflation, how will that be handled? Because it's a pretty drastic improvement in margins that they've seen over the last couple of years, and just would love to get some comfort around that.
Certainly. Yeah, so I'll say a couple of things. One, as it relates to the synergies, don't think about the synergies coming from Advance Pierre exclusively. There's certainly cost advantages by this combination, and so you should think of, you know, what those would look like in total. So that the idea of, you know, sales synergies, distribution synergies, those are things that certainly having where they have less than load deliveries on some of their products, which they do. They utilize, you know, have a smaller footprint than we do. You can imagine there would be significant synergies there. But I would say that, you know, the input cost, the way that they have handled it, and I'll just go back, I don't want to speak for, you know, Chris Sliva and the team. They've done a wonderful job, and they can speak for themselves. But, you know, as I've come to know the business, they have done some remarkable things as it relates to becoming much more professional, I would say, as they manage their pricing programs with the entire trade. So there has been value created there, but I think because the combination is so complementary, and because we are scale a scale player at Tyson, you know, I see that, you know, being know, certainly a reasonable target, if that, in fact, you know, I would say maybe a conservative target. So then the final thing is on input costs, you know, not that we're going to say that there's going to be tremendous synergies coming from lower cost of raw materials, because a lot of those materials are market-based, and we sell our, you know, commodity raw materials at the market. But you will definitely find that there's going to be a more, I think, seamless interaction in terms of customer and supplier, where we have, you know, with Advanced Pierre, they have a lot of relationships, and, you know, we have a lot of the inputs that they use to make their products. So I think that that's going to be, you know, a nice thing for us to take a look at and see how we can add some value there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
The next question will be from Jeremy Scott of Mizuho. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and congrats on the transaction. I just wanted to ask about strategy going forward. Obviously, you know the consumer is comfortably growing more omnichannel when it comes to eating out, but can you talk a little bit about the appetite of your customers to outsource more fresh meal preparation, given the higher cost of store labor and given the fact that you just mentioned that obviously that area of the store is growing? But is the intention for Tyson to use its scale to bring down the cost of that distribution to perhaps win more SKUs and facilitate more outsourcing? And that what's that mean for the organic growth rate of Advanced Pierre?
Yes, Jeremy, I would say Advanced Pierre has started to do that themselves, and that's what has been behind their growth story to a large degree. But certainly that is an opportunity for us, and we see clearly convenience foods overall. So whether it's in the convenience, you know, store channel or in the perimeter of retail store, certainly consumers want further prepared foods, but also fresh prepared foods. So I'd say packaged is less in favor, and, you know, solutions that are ready to eat and or ready to heat and eat, that those are certainly capabilities that we want to continue to build, and we have been doing so on our own turf, but also, you know, Advanced Pierre has, and they're in different product categories, as I said. So having that combined scale will be certainly helpful for our customers as they look to build out their growth plans. Just having more to offer and more capabilities is going to be, hopefully, I just think, you know, for them, seen as a very positive thing, and my guess is it will be.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question will be from Michael Piken of Cleveland Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm just wondering, you know, in terms of how you're thinking about, you know, the business as a whole in terms of, you know, combining Hillshire and now this business, and just, you know, where do you sort of ideally see your mix? And, you know, I mean, in terms of your even commodity businesses, I mean, do you expect that we'll see a shift in volumes as you feed into your prepared foods business more over time in terms of the amount of, you know, commodity meat that you sell externally? Thanks.
Yep. Good morning, Michael. We want to grow the business. Everything that we own, we want to grow. So start there. What we have been consistently talking about over the last probably couple of quarters is that we have two very distinct businesses. On the fresh meat side, our commodity business, you know, the growth profile will follow largely what's happening in terms of trends, very supply-driven. On chicken and prepared foods, the value-added part of our portfolio, we think that is going to continue to be an area where we will drive significant and advantage growth. So the, you know, focus for us is clearly to grow both, but as it relates to our focus on brand building and new products, and as we're building out the capabilities both in our retail and food service channel teams, that's the predominance that you'll see there is the taking a product that is potentially maybe commoditized in the past and adding value. And things that are, you know, happening both in retail and food service today is the customers are looking for, you know, further value-added products and fresh products. And that combination for us is, you know, fits right in our wheelhouse, and that's the big reason why this makes a lot of sense.
The next question will come from Akshay Jagdale of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and congratulations on the acquisition. Just wanted to ask a little bit, you know, in terms of this asset, it's very, you know, more food service oriented. So it's, you know, when we compare it to, let's say, a Hillshire where, you know, the brands were very visibly strong, you know, this one maybe is not as visibly strong to investors from a branding perspective. Yet, you know, the multiple is not, you know, it's not that much lower than what you paid for Hillshire. It is, it's a premium multiple. So can you just help us understand, you know, in that context, in the context of having some struggles in your legacy food service business, you know, how owning a food service asset makes sense and why you think you can add value in the food service segment?
Sure. Yeah, first of all, the base today is the food service business, and we also think there's some growth opportunity, not just with the Barber Foods brand, but also these capabilities, how they can help us with growth in the brands that we already have in the portfolio. So that's for starters. I would say as it relates to their food service business, it's very strong. And, you know, as we announced yesterday, we will be divesting a significant part of our food service business, which is the frozen bakery side as well as the kettle business. So those products will be leaving the portfolio, and we are onboarding products that are more consumer relevant. And so that, to me, makes a lot of sense. Beyond that, where we've had struggles has been in some of our legacy Tyson prepared foods products, and that is, you know, clearly due to some of the manufacturing base. And as we, you know, see this acquisition as being something that's going to build our manufacturing capability, we feel like this is a part of, you know, helping us continue to make the food service business healthy. And, you know, finally, just before I turn it over to Dennis to talk about multiple. You know, actually, this is one of the strengths that Tyson has is being able to play across all channels significantly. So whether it's retail or food service, we like to feel like we got the consumer coming and going, and it's an opportunity for us to continue to excite them wherever they're going to eat food. And so we want to grow our food service business and grow our retail business, and we'll do it with brands, our brands, and also our customer brands.
Akshay, on the financial front, first I would agree with you. We're approaching the Hillshire multiple at about 14 times, but think about this. Post synergies, the multiple will come in about just over 8 times, which is about where we trade right now. And that's before we even grow this business and expand its capabilities and go beyond there. And then most importantly, or lastly, I would say, is that it is very accretive and will get even more accretive over time as we recognize synergies and grow the business.
Okay, and just a follow-up. You know, obviously this is a new capability that you're getting, so I understand that, but how will that impact your existing business? Or in other words, which segments does this acquisition have the potential to most positively impact long term? Like obviously Hillshire, now we know apart from the synergies, you know, it's going to impact the chicken segment pretty significantly. So can you help us understand, like, 5 years down the road, if you execute on this, the new capabilities are likely to most positively impact which of your current segments? Thank you.
Of course, yeah, and the quick answer is prepared foods. As we are segmented today, that is certainly where you're going to find the most impact, and that is, you know, one of the reasons why we want to make sure that we continue to buy businesses that, you know, are going to be growth oriented, is that we have, you know, growing businesses at growing margins. So this is an awesome opportunity for us to do that. And what I would say, the idea of us, you know, continuing to look at these as also growth vehicles for the brands that we already have in the Tyson stable is not to be overlooked. So just because they have a food service business today, and it's probably not the brands with the same level of power and spending and consumer awareness that our legacy Tyson brands have, that means for us it's an opportunity to continue to grow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question will be from Ken Zaslow of BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Ken.
So just a couple questions. One is, I must miss it, but can you talk about what the accretion is, and does this change your growth algorithm, and by how much? Also, I'll take the other side of the cost side. Advanced Pier, in my mind, is actually a place that may not have been run as efficiently, and the synergies, the in-company opportunities actually seems far greater. And every year there's a company that was able to have internal improvements beyond the typical. So are you guys really up for taking a hard look at some of the, internal operations that could be, restructured within it, not only the synergies, but is there opportunities there? And then the last question I have is, managing private label sandwiches and Jimmy Dean, can you kind of, take that as well, because obviously they were moving into, a competitive product to Jimmy Dean sandwiches. Is this something that you guys are going to manage, and how are you going to do it? Those are my questions. Thanks.
Ken, this is Dennis. I'll handle the accretion comment. Rather than give you a precise number, think about it this way. Over the last 12 months, ended December, their operating income was about $200 million. We're going to borrow about $4.5 billion in debt in a neighborhood of 3.5%, so I'll let you do the accretion calculation. You'll see that's very accretive. But there will be a little bit of a bump up in depreciation and amortization. It's too early to give you that number, but it's not a big number, so I'll turn the rest of the question over to Tom.
Sure. Yeah, so as it relates to the synergy part, if there's more opportunity, of course we're going to take it. And if we can make, either side stronger as a result, we're not going to leave anything on the table. What I will say is we have experience today. Advanced Pier's Chief Operating Officer, George Chappelle, is somebody that I am very familiar with. He and I worked together at Sara Lee. And what they have done as a team in order to change the way that they're operating, I think they've had a fantastic journey. To the extent that there's more there, we'll find out. And, yes, if there's opportunities, we'll take it. Do I think there are some that are baked into the 200? Of course. And like I said a moment ago, I think those are probably conservative, and we'll just see how that plays out. As it relates to private label, we have a lot of private label customer brand business today, and we intend to continue to, where it makes sense for us, support our customers in that way. Of course, our food service business has a tremendous amount of customer brands. We do have customer brands on retail. And, we believe that if we run the business properly, both can be effective and can be synergistic as we are category leaders, and particularly, I would say, certainly sandwiches. But for us, we see that as an opportunity, not a risk.
Will you use their pricing model across your business, because their pricing model is anticipatory and a little different than most companies that I've seen?
Yeah, so Ken, the model that they have is very similar to the model that we have in our prepared retail business, probably not so much on some of the other formula-based businesses that we have, particularly in the legacy Tyson portfolio, but the model that they've gone to and that Jim Clough, their chief commercial officer, has implemented has been something that is, it certainly has been an unlock for them, but also it's how currently the business is run on the prepared foods retail business that we have today.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the final question this morning will be from David Palmer of RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. Some simple questions. How much of Advanced Pier is food service? And within that, how much is sold to traditional restaurant chains, the C-store and retail food service area, and, perhaps remainder independents?
So You know, we certainly don't have all the level of detail that, you know, that question begs. But I would say, you know, generally speaking, their business is, of course, largely food service, where they have retail business. They have a small presence, like I said, with Barber Foods at retail. They have retail private label, but it is largely, I would say, a food service and convenience, you know, food service business. Some restaurant chains for sure. There's some nice business they have there in contracts, but I would say that overall, the way to think about it is a food service business, but also a large business in the perimeter of the retail grocery store and also growing in that space.
So the overlap, when you think about your food service business, the overlap with existing customers, how would you characterize it? A high overlap with existing customers or perhaps largely new customers from a food service perspective?
Yeah. So as Tyson, we have relationships with practically every food service customer. And I can't say that it's absolutely true, but it's the broad majority of food service customers. Where I'd say the most significant overlap with Advance Pierre is within the broadline food service space and convenience. So we have a convenience product line today, but also broadline distribution. There's certainly a lot of overlap there, and I think that's going to be a nice thing for these teams to join forces for our customers.
And with the customers that assuming you have a virtual overlap everywhere, how is the distribution different? In other words, do you have layers in between you and customers now? As pure protein, even a value-added protein supplier, that would be delayered, or how will the go-to-market be different now that you have Advance Pierre?
So in terms of the physical flow, they have distribution centers, they have mixing centers, we have mixing centers. So coming up with the right footprint that is going to serve our customers is an opportunity, and frankly, one that we're executing already within the Tyson portfolio. To think of the frozen prepared chicken business and our prepared foods, both Tyson, Legacy Tyson, and Legacy Hillshire, that network is just now coming together. What we'll be adding onto it is another significant business. And so also simultaneously taking out a portion with the Legacy frozen bakery business, both retail and food service. So from a physical flow, we think there's a lot of opportunity to create some synergy within the distribution footprint. In terms of other go-to-market, touching customers, largely the way that we are, broker network with the salespeople that predominantly focus their time, the direct folks on the large customers. So we're looking forward to getting together with that sales organization and understanding where we can be most effective combined.
And then just one last question about your margins going forward. You talked about your synergies, and those are pretty beefy synergies that you talked about. But even beyond that long term, I would assume that you would have an opportunity in your mind to expand margins through the mix in business that you can do going forward. If you're seeing that at all, what kind of mix migration could you see to your margins, and where will you target growth?
We'll target growth on convenience, traditional food service, using their capabilities for brands in the Tyson portfolio and on the retail perimeter. As it relates to, mix improvements, what I'll say is that certainly divesting parts of the portfolio that are not as strong and acquiring, margins that are, that's, the first step. The second step in terms of growing is making sure that we have, the right value proposition for our customers where they want to grow, and the perimeter is what they're telling us and it's what consumers are voting with in terms of their dollars, but also, using these capabilities and assembly capabilities, importantly, for growing the branded business within Tyson.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Tom Hayes for his closing remarks.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all the questions, very thoughtful, and the engagement today on short notice. Like I said, we are extremely excited about the combination of these two companies. We look forward to getting to spend some time with the team. We have, you know, as we said, we'll look to close this hopefully in the third quarter of our fiscal year. And just appreciate the time. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you on May 8th.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect your lines.